Welcome back here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, we talk often a little bit or about the process of retirement and a quality of retirement. I can tell you from personal experience of retiring literally hundreds of times with our clients that often the quality of a person's retirement is governed by what their engagement model is. And what I mean by that is I think historically you think of that retirement date as the date you get to stop work and you get to go and, you know, do whatever else it is you're going to do. But I think that's changing very rapidly. I think people are finding that's not really the definition of a successful retirement, that there is some level of engagement that I want, of mental stimulation, of challenge, all of those things that work provides. However, it may not simply be at the pace that you were doing it when you were 40 or 50 years old. Now, that's an interesting concept because there's a new poll that's come out. It was a Harris poll, and it was on behalf of Express Employment Professionals. And what this poll found was that 76% of Canadian baby boomers said that they would opt for a flexible work schedule if allowed, and 60% would actually choose reduced hours and the corresponding reduced benefits with that as well. Now, to help us understand a little bit about the report, the ins and the outs, we've got Jessica Kula with us today. She's Express Employment owner and spokesperson, national spokesperson. Jessica, thanks for taking some time with us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's tackle this, right? Clearly, we're getting the Harris poll indicating that people are open to this idea of a phased retirement or a shortened work week, a flexible work week, call it what you will. I'm interested maybe just at a high level, a little bit about why that might be the case. Is this a financial issue where people don't have enough to retire? Or is it I just want to stay engaged and keep myself out of trouble? Or perhaps a combination of both. I don't know. Well, I'll look for your input on that.
Sure. Yeah, from the people that we speak with regularly and through the survey as well, what we definitely hear, it is a combination. It's a combination of things. It's partly financial, partly affordability of the quality of life that those folks are looking for. They want to be able to travel and buy toys and boats and do fun things as well, keep the activity levels high, spending time with grandchildren. And the other big piece, I think, is just that connectivity. People want to still feel connected to something and engaged and challenged. And I think there's a huge opportunity because we definitely are faced with a knowledge gap as well with the baby boomers looking to retire. And I think there is a solution to be had there. It's just not always commonly utilized.
Well, it's an interesting point you've just brought up. I've just started with the focus on, you know, the individual that's retiring. But there's two sides to this story. There's also what the employer loses when that knowledge base walks out the door. So I found this interesting in the report. From an employment perspective, only 30% of the boomers surveyed in this report said that their employer offered any sort of semi-retirement option. So clearly we have a disconnect here. We've got a group of people who seem to want the option to do this. We don't have a business community that perhaps has embraced or has a mechanism to do that. Maybe just talk a little bit about what that, you know, that disconnect means and where the opportunities are.
Sure. The opportunities that I see is mentorship programs. So mentorship programs can be done at a more flexible schedule or a reduced work week because just on the topic of flexibility, I think that's a really important thing to offer, but you can't offer flexibility at the detriment of customers or clients if you're in that type of business. So mentorship, though, it's internal customers, it's other employees, and that's a great opportunity for solving the problem of that knowledge gap because that is detrimental to businesses for that knowledge to walk out the door. But then also, millennials get a bad rap, and my company, most of my employees are millennials, and they want information, they want to be led, they want good leadership, they want to be mentored. And I think if those programs were made available, processes, policies in place that allowed for them, I think they'd be well utilized. Of course, it does take money and resources, and I think maybe that's partly why we don't see them in place all the time. But I think it would be a great opportunity and a good solution.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the case. Now, you know, nationally, our unemployment rate has been moving down. We're experiencing it a little bit differently in Alberta, Calgary, and Edmonton. But, you know, you make a point, the report made a point that there will, you know, we will recover from this. And we have been in a situation in this province in the past where resources, labor, skilled labor has been difficult to find. It becomes expensive. It becomes very competitive. People are moving. You're losing the continuity of the employee. So even Alberta companies, you know, you're suggesting, particularly with your exposure in this province, that they should be thinking about these things now and how you can tap those resources because they're available.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody who was working and in business, maybe in particular, but in those years, 2007 through to 2014, really,
yeah, yeah.
It wasn't fun. It was hard to find people. And I would say even in the downturn, in coming out of it still, it can still be hard to find employees. And I know then the job seekers get really frustrated by that because they think, here I am looking for a job and I can't get a job. But then the employers are saying, well, we can't find the skill set we need. We talk about a knowledge gap, but there's also a skills gap. And that's maybe a different but related issue. And again, perhaps mentorship could be a solution to that as well. But yeah, it's definitely, having gone through the boom economy and then the soft economy and now recovery, it's almost like you see the same problems, but in a little bit of a different way.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the solution. So we've talked about it at a high level. Wayne, maybe you have anecdotally some experiences you can share with us about companies that have adopted this and sort of the benefits from the company's perspective and from the employee's perspective. If there's no specific anecdotal evidence you can provide, let's talk about what companies and employees should be thinking about when they're thinking of structuring this.
I think you've got to start with looking at what you've got already, the resources you've got at your fingertips. Who have you got on the team? Who have you got that's interested in something like this? Who maybe has experience with spearheading a program like this? Who would be interested in utilizing from, say, the mentee side? Who would be interested in utilizing a program like this? And start small and then branch out from there. I think there's also opportunity if you're looking at other organizations within your community. I know I belong to some business organizations where mentorship, there are processes in place that you could then maybe duplicate. So they do exist, but then finding and seeking them out, finding out where they are. Organizations that have initiatives focused on employment branding, a lot of times mentorship is a part of that as well because it's a recruiting and retention tool.
Yep.
So I think it's starting with what you have and then maybe duplicating what might be working elsewhere.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a conversation this past week with a client, and we're doing some financial planning work with the family because he's thinking he's got some health issues, and so he travels a lot, and it's a fast pace. He still loves what he does, but he doesn't think he's going to be able to continue at that pace given his circumstances for much longer. But he's quite worried about bringing this up to his employer. You know, his words were, "Well, this." He said, my belief is that when I have this conversation, even though I've got a very good relationship with my boss, he says, I think this is a career-limiting move.
Mm.
Is there a stigma attached to that?
Yes, I would say there is a stigma attached to that. We do see that. Where we'll see it more would be people that are trying to maybe re-enter the workforce, and it's just a barrier for them, more so than this example. But I think coming with a plan and seeing if an option would be a better bet, coming prepared with a plan and, again, looking at what you've got there. If you've got a team that could be interested in being a part of this, it could provide more incentive for the employer to take part and buy into it.
Yep. Okay. We're quickly approaching the end of our segment here. It goes quickly. So your advice, if somebody's sitting here thinking, boy, I really would like that option. I do want to stay engaged. I just don't want to be working perhaps the time that I am now. What's your, 15-second sort of top-level recommendation?
I think, not to be repetitive, but coming up with a plan that clearly outlines what the anticipated results would be and what those results would look like. I think it's got to be results focused and it's got to be measurable. Mentorship could be vague and I think hard to pinpoint or hard to get buy-in on as far as a program is involved if there isn't a way to measure the results.
Yeah. Jessica, thank you. I think we have to leave it there. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.
Been joined by Jessica Kulo, who's the Express Employment owner and national spokesperson for that. Okay, join us after the break. Stick around. We're going to be talking about the how you actually put a strategy together to consider multiple outcomes from an investment perspective. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.